Greetings, everyone, from beneath the snowy landscape of the ice planet Hoth. You are listening to F This Movie. We are snowed in, so coming to you from a cave somewhere miles below the Earth's surface, buried in by snow, via Skype. Once again, is Mark on?
Hello. Welcome. Hi.
Let me ask you a question, Mark. How long after the snow began, how long did it take you to resort to cannibalism?
It was pretty quick. Yeah. I actually had not even gotten home, and I started reverting to cannibalism.
Yeah.
I was writing, when did the snow start? What's today? Today's Thursday.
Yeah.
And,
snow started on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, right when I left work, they all said, "Don't even stick around at work. Everyone go home." Which was a very well-intentioned thing to say, because they just wanted everyone to go home and, you know, not be stuck at school. But the problem was that everyone was leaving at the same time.
Yeah.
Which created a lot of traffic. And I it's no joke. Just in the car, I was starving. I was so hungry. And so, cannibalism.
That's how it happens. I actually didn't even wait for the snow to start. As soon as they started forecasting any snow, period, I just ate the neighbors.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just at the slightest indication.
Just that they suggested that it might get bad. I said, well, I fired up the barbecue, and I chowed down on a neighbor. Anyway, in case you don't know what we're talking about, people listening to F This Movie, here in Chicago, where we record F This Movie, usually in person, we're buried under feet of snow. So tonight we're recording via Skype, which is why the show may sound a little different. But as always, you're listening to F This Movie, and you can email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com, and you can find us online at fthismovie.blogspot.com, where we just published a list of snow movies, movies that take place in the snow, and I left out Out Cold, as Erica pointed out to me. I know. It's my favorite ski movie after Ski Party and Ski School and Snowboard Academy. Is there a real Snowboard Academy? Is somewhere you go to take classes?
I think the word, I think about these things, I'm sorry.
All right.
I think the word academy
has
all the cultural gravitas of, it has all that stuff, and it's pretty much the opposite of the word shack.
Okay.
Like, if you say snowboard academy,
yeah,
it sounds super official.
Yeah, had to do something to get in. Like, there were acceptance requirements.
Right.
Yeah.
It's certified stuff is happening there. But if you call something like the snowboard shack...
That sounds like a place you would go to get murdered. I don't know how we got
Academy.
On this. I don't know how we got on this topic.
It's Snowmageddon, that's why.
That's right, so Snowmageddon, Thunder Snow. Do you have a favorite snow movie?
I think my favorite ridiculous... cold weather kind of thing was what's it called? The Vertical Limit.
I never saw that.
This Vertical Limit.
The trailers made it look like a Mountain Dew commercial.
A little bit, because it's all about allegedly a bunch of mountain climbers, and there's all this, and Chris O'Donnell's in it, which is always awesome. In all the awesome ways that Chris O'Donnell is awesome. And someone is trapped and they got to do something and they're going to cut some ropes. Spoiler, people die.
What?
I'm really sorry. And then, they have to make the moral choice of the mountain climber, which is apparently this is what mountain climbers do all day. They just go climb the mountains. And then at some point they have to decide who dies and who doesn't by cutting a rope. And that's a major part of the movie, but it's really cool. Like, one of the good things about those things is that it's really cool to look at, because the scenery is very beautiful and all that kind of stuff. And, it's a guilty pleasure a little bit, that one. I'm like, all right, this one, it wasn't so bad. This one.
You totally just reminded me that I forgot to put Cliffhanger on the list of snow movies.
Oh, it's not on the list of snow
movies. It's not, I forgot about it. And how could I possibly forget about Cliffhanger? I don't know.
That's a good one. That's I know we earlier in the summer had the Sylvester Stallone conversation.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger's one of the better ones.
Cliffhanger stands out for no other reason than because his last line to the bad guy before he kills him. You know, usually it's something, usually, you know, brevity is sort of the order of the day. It's usually like, I can't think of a good example, like stick around or like let off some steam or whatever. But in Cliffhanger, man, he's trying to get this dude into a plane and then knock the plane off a mountain. And he has time to say, keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times. Like, that's a lot to get out before you kill a dude.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just a lot to get out if you're Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, that's true.
It's difficult. It's hard to move your lips that much. It's okay. I'm glad he did. I enjoyed Cliffhanger. It was a good one.
Yeah, that movie, I liked it when I saw it in the theater because I saw it like in big 70 millimeter. And like you said, the landscapes are really nice. And then I tried to watch it on home video and it was like, oh, these people are talking and saying words. And this movie doesn't hold up. But
I still enjoy it. Yeah, I got to go to this shack. This sucks.
Yeah, right. Anyway, tonight we're talking about the 2008 action film Wanted, directed by crazy Russian. Mark is clearly typing something right now because, man, that comes through loud and clear.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I won't anymore.
The crazy Russian dude, I'm going to say this wrong, Timur Bekmambetov. How's that?
I think that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I don't know. Yeah. It's a lot of letters. I took a shot. But before we start talking about Wanted, Mark, have you seen anything good lately?
Yeah. Because of all the snow, I've been trapped in my own house, which isn't... That's not as bad as people make it sound. Like, every so often, I want to be trapped in my house.
Yeah.
Anyway. So it was just me, and then a lot of napping, and then noodles... Eating a lot of noodles. And then Netflix. A lot of ends. And so I kind of ripped through my Netflix queue a little bit. One thing I saw was Exit Through the Gift Shop.
I totally saw that too.
Oh, really? What'd you think of it?
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah.
I thought what the movie's about is this crazy French guy who is following around Banksy and these other street artists. And then the movie ends up becoming more about the French guy than it is about these street artists. I really enjoyed it. And that guy is crazy. Whoever, I forgot what it is. It's like Terry,
yeah,
something like that. It's this French guy, but definitely
Mr. Brainwash.
Mr. Brainwash, right. It was so, and there's a part of me that feels like, and then, you know, people watch it, I think can understand this, that it feels like, was this for real? Like, is that guy for real?
Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracy theories that the whole documentary is staged, that it's phony.
Right, because he's got a little bit too much of, I think sometimes, like, Europeans, especially French people, now I'm going to make broad, sweeping, racial... Yeah. Awesome. Here I go. but he had too much of, like, that clueless foreigner thing going on. Like, oh, hey, how's it going? And he, like, was so positive, and he was so clueless as to what he was doing and seemed to have no self-awareness at all that it made me think, like, that's what... I was like, really? Like, can there be a person who... Can there be this kind of person who it doesn't just get... destroyed by the world. But anyway, it's really interesting. It's very fascinating. Again, it's only like 86 minutes or so. It's like, so you kind of go through it pretty quick. So that was fun. What else did I see? Just today, actually, as I was still stuck in my house, I saw The Machinist.
All right. How's that? I've never seen that. That's the movie he lost all the weight for, right?
Yeah, and it was really terrifying. It was like gross to, like, it works that he's that skinny, but it was really, really just sort of disturbing to see him, because there's lots of situations where it's very obvious. It's not like he's just walking around and you're like, wow, he's kind of thin. Like, they really accentuated in the film, like, he's walking around in his bathroom with his shirt off and you just get to see how skinny he is. It's like, ooh, like, it's just kind of in your face. But I really liked it. It's I don't want to give away too much, but it's sort of like this mystery, like, he thinks he's going crazy, but he's not sure, and so you're unsure of, like, what's real and what's not real kind of thing. And the fact that he's so thin has to do with, you know, whatever this mental thing that is he's dealing with. But yeah, I really enjoyed that too. It's sort of, I didn't know what to expect of it. I don't know, like, I know it came out a while ago, but I only got around to watching it today, obviously, so I'd completely forgotten what it was about. But I really enjoyed it. Christian Bale did a great job.
Yeah.
It was sort of, understated. And He was sort of quiet and not sort of like, I feel like he's not that good when he's yelling and screaming and
like Terminator Salvation basically is what you're referencing, right?
Right. That's not the good way.
Did you see The Fighter?
I didn't. Okay. I was going to this weekend, but it was sort of too busy. And then I got snowed in.
So yeah.
I think I'm going to. Initially, I wasn't going to because I'm not. I think we talked about this a little bit. I'm not really into boxing movies. Like I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I didn't have much interest in seeing it, and I was very, very pleasantly surprised. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Okay. And I asked that only because it was the first movie in a long time that I didn't mind. I enjoyed Christian Bale because there was a run there where I decided I never needed to see him in another movie again. But he's really good in The Fighter, and he's like fun to watch, and that's never something I've been able to say about Christian Bale before. He's never been fun to watch.
Right.
But
did you see American Psycho?
I did see American Psycho, and he's really good in that. That's probably the last movie that I could say. Okay. Yeah. I really enjoyed Christian Bale.
I think, he was fun to watch in that, too.
Yeah, definitely. And that was probably the last one. And before that, I'm going to go Newsies. Probably Newsies.
Oh, did he have the butt chin back then?
I don't know. Anything else on Netflix Instant?
I have to think. I think that's the two that come. There are some other things I watched, but I don't remember what they are.
All right.
Because it's been a haze and a blur of things.
Yeah, right.
But those two stand out.
Before all the snow came, I had a chance to get out to the theater, and I finally saw 127 Hours.
Oh yeah, the one with the guy
James Franco cutting his arm off. Yeah, it was good, not quite great. It's nominated for Best Picture, and so while I don't put a great deal of stock in the Oscars, we did go because it was like, well, that was the only movie of the 10 that we hadn't seen. That are nominated, so we went, and the first half, actually, and I tend to like Danny Boyle, mm-hmm. who made the movie, but for the first half of the movie, I was having a lot of problems with it, and I was not liking Danny Boyle so much. It ended up winning me over by the end, but I don't know, certainly not, it wasn't one of my favorite movies of the year, but it was good.
Mm-hmm. Was it really slow? Just the one thing I've
been well, thinking. No. But that's almost my problem with it, is that Danny Boyle didn't trust the story enough, so he overloads it with, like, split screen and crazy fast montages and all these dream sequences, and, like, he's so afraid that you're going to get bored watching this story of a guy stuck in a cave that he just keeps bombarding you with all this other stuff to keep it fast and keep it interesting, and that was what was getting on my nerves, especially in the first half. He backs off of some of that as the story progresses.
Maybe he was afraid of Castaway, like the Castaway situation.
Maybe, but half the time I was just sitting there thinking how much I like Castaway. Right. I really like that movie.
I wish this was Castaway.
Yeah, right. And I also saw The Mechanic.
Nice.
Because I do love Jason Statham, and that movie did not disappoint. Like, it's really stupid and very, very similar to the original Charles Bronson movie.
Nice.
But I almost didn't care because it was
right.
There was some kick-ass stuff going on.
It gave you everything that you expected. That you wanted.
Yes, wanted. Look at you.
I'm good.
And Ben Foster didn't bother me too much because he tends to overact like a crazy person.
Yeah, and he overacts in the same way too.
Yeah,
it's like the guy that's It's like the best version of Ben Foster, I feel like I've seen. I haven't seen everything that he's in, but was 310 to Yuma, which was my favorite Ben Foster.
Yeah,
like he's intense and he's really evil, but it's just he's quiet. He's saying a lot. He's maximizing what he's doing.
Did you ever see that Bruce Willis movie Hostage?
No, I didn't.
There's some bad Ben Foster in that movie. He's indulging every one of his worst instincts. And he just,
like, it's just like too much testosterone. I feel like that's too mistaken.
It's just, yeah, it's like someone tells him, like, okay, now you're playing a crazy guy. And he says, okay. And then he underlines the word crazy 6 times and plays it like that.
Right. Because all crazy people have like a very stiff jawline.
Right.
And have eyes that are bugging out.
Right. And they're always sweaty and kind of dirty.
Right.
He's crazy. Anyway, let's talk about Wanted.
Sure, absolutely.
Wanted is a 2008 movie, once again directed by Timur Bekmambetov.
And I feel like we need to say his name as much as possible.
I'm probably going to stop there. And he is the director of a crazy series of Russian movies that I haven't seen. Have you seen any of the, like, Night Watch, Day Watch?
I did. I saw Night Watch.
And tell me about Night Watch.
Night Watch is, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. Did you like it?
I did. I liked it for what it was. I think I read something somewhere that it grossed more in Russia than the Lord of the Rings movies did. I don't know if like that's combined or just like singularly or whatever, but it's probably in the series because it's Night Watch and Day Watch, and I don't know if there's another one, but made a ton of, it was really successful in Russia. I liked it because it's this whole, it's very fantastical. There's this sort of like supernatural mythology of like good and evil and how the world was created, and there's these I don't want to compare it to like crappier movies like in Constantine, there's that the presence of good and evil in the world, but it's like hidden, it's like
right,
like people are just walking around and you don't know who's like an evil spirit or like a good angel or something like that. So Night Watch is, and Day Watch are both kind of in that vein, and like the fight between good and evil. And there's some really cool visual things. And there's like some crazy, and because it's like, you know, based in another, like in Russian culture, which obviously I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
There's some like unexpected beats. There's some, which I'm sure Russian people might find totally normal and acceptable. But to me, it was very surprising. But I liked it. Generally, I sort of liked it. But I kind of like that.
And so, Wanted is his English language debut, and I guess we'll start with just sort of what are your personal feelings about the movie Wanted?
I liked the first, the first half to the first like two thirds of the movie.
Okay,
I could go along with it.
Yeah,
I really liked it. I loved the. And every dude, every guy under the age of 35 probably walked out of the theater like with that curving bullet thing in your head, and you're like, like if I had that power, how would I be using it? Like, it just everybody was thinking about that at some point. I thought that thing was cool. I think Angelina Jolie did a great, like she was fine doing what she does. I think she's best when she's sort of quiet and understated, and she's like a silent, mysterious one. That's when she's best. When she has to talk, I feel like it's not. She's just not as good. Not because she's dumb, she's just better when she's quiet. So I liked it. I think it was a little bit different. It was sort of this like assassin kind of thing, and then just sort of toward the end of the movie, just everything falls apart into nonsense. Nonsense. Like, it just didn't make any sense. But the first half, you know, I really liked it.
I'm fascinated by the fact that you say that it devolves into nonsense when in the first 5 minutes.
That's true.
The movie really sort of lets you know what it is when the dude runs down a hallway and jumps through a window across to another skyscraper.
Perfectly acceptable.
And then kills everyone. And you're like, that I buy. But this ending, it's silly. It's silly.
Right. Yes. I buy people running out of. I think part of the reason why that I could buy that part was it was, sorry, it's based on a comic, and so I'd read the comic, and so that was a part of the story. And okay. I know it's not like the movie was never intended, and it never claims to be like a faithful, what's the word?
Adaptation. Yeah.
Adaptation, yes, of the comic. But I saw that was in there, and so like that, I was like, oh, well, that's nice. That's like they're throwing us around a little bit. So that part I could sort of accept.
And now you read the comic.
I did, yeah. After watching the movie, actually.
Oh, okay. And how is the comic compared to the movie? Not necessarily like, are they similar, but did you like the comic more than the movie, less than the movie? I've never read it.
Yeah. Let's see. I think it's more, like the main character, played by James McAvoy in the movie. Wesley is the name of the main character. Wesley, it's sort of the same storyline of Wesley doesn't know that he is, you know, he has these super assassin powers and that he can shoot and do all these things. But in the comic, it's a little bit different because of, it follows a different follows a little bit of a different trail because it's more like the bad guys sort of take over. In the movie, it's sort of like the assassins just kind of like sort of keep order, kind of. They don't like interfere with the world too much. They just sort of let the world run itself, and they do things like sort of, they're not so, they're not intervening into the world as much. Whereas in the comic, I feel like it's happening a lot. Like they're the secret, like they're handling everything. They're running everything, and it's just all kind of in your face and stuff. And there's like additional sort of, like Wesley's a bigger character in the comic. I feel like he's much more like central, like he's much more of a superhero, sorry, a super villain instead of a superhero.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different that way. There's some other, it's a lot more violent in the comic, which obviously you can do that because it's a comic.
It's a pretty violent movie, so that's kind of hard to imagine.
Yeah, I feel like in the movie, the main character, Wesley, is a little bit, is really whiny.
Yeah.
Really, really whiny. And I know that's kind of what they're trying to go for, this very weak version of like what masculinity is, but like that gets really grating in the movie. I think in the comic, it's a little bit more, he just kind of doesn't know what, like he's not so much of a loser, he just sort of doesn't know what to do, and he's just sort of like a victim of his circumstances, whereas I feel like in the movie he's much more like a, like, please shut up, like, please, you're, there's nothing likable, there's nothing likable about you at all, like, I would feel sorry, but you're just really annoying.
Well, and unfortunately in a Hollywood studio movie, you know, they don't have the patience for you to like get to know a character the way that you might in a comic book. It's like, we gotta establish who this guy is in one scene, and so he's just this pathetic office drone. And stays that way for, about half the movie. Watching it again today, I was reminded of how grating he can be at times. And I actually like James McAvoy in the movie. I think he does a good job. And I think he handles the action stuff pretty well. But there's a scene or a sequence about a quarter or a third of the way into the movie where he's just shouting and whining, and it's unbearable.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and it highlights. Like, I don't think he speaks... Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like, I don't think there's not even like a minute where he's just talking in his normal voice, like a normal human being.
Right. Everything is just shouted and what's going on? What the fuck? So when I saw Wanted in 2008, and again, I'm not familiar with the comic. I actually didn't really like the movie. I came out of it thinking it was sort of pointlessly sort of nihilistic. And again, I wasn't that familiar with Mark Millar at the time, so I didn't know all of his stuff is that way. I thought it was sort of pointlessly nihilistic and felt like almost like a movie version of Grand Theft Auto, which I don't play. It seemed like someone had seen like The Matrix and Fight Club and sort of mashed them together. That it takes basically the essential the plot structure of The Matrix. Mm-hmm. It's almost the exact same movie when you know with Morgan Freeman as Morpheus and Angelina Jolie as Trinity and then it sort of takes the some of the attitudes of Fight Club. You know, there's definitely some similarities between James McAvoy and Edward Norton, and sort of this attitude of like fuck you, you know, world, and there's something better out there, you know, attained through violence. And what Fight Club gets that this movie doesn't, I mean, Fight Club isn't actually about that stuff. Fight Club doesn't say like embrace violence as a lifestyle and you will achieve self-actualization, whereas this movie thinks that that's the answer, you know. And it's okay, because again, now having seen it a few times now, I can accept it for the movie that it is, and I can embrace it on its terms, but I sort of rejected that when I first saw it, and I wasn't a big fan of it, but then it wore me down. Like, it would show up on HBO a lot, and it's totally watchable. Like, I would put it on all the time.
Super rewatchable. Because you're like, oh, wait, this is the part where the car is going to flip over and do this other thing, or wait, this is the part where they're on the train, and they're going to do the curvy bullet thing.
And there's there's a ton of cool stuff, and I began to respect things about the movie that I didn't really like the first time around. I mean, it does set up a very specific universe, and it stays true to that universe. I mean, to the, like I said before, within the first 5 minutes, it sets up like, this is this kind of movie where a guy can jump from building to building, shooting in midair. And it does a lot of stuff that's pretty interesting visually. I think it slows down the action a little too often for my taste.
Right.
Where it's like, we're about to show you something cool, and to make sure that you see it and you make sure you see how cool it is, we're going to slow it down. And sometimes I think stuff is cooler when it plays out in real time. So I definitely like it more now. But again, rewatching it today, I was reminded of something that I think every time I see it, which is that, man, it really sags in the middle. Like,
yeah,
the whole section where he's dealing with the man, I don't want to give too much away, the man who he thinks has been trying to kill him all along.
Yes.
Really, yeah, drags. And it luckily it kind of comes back at the end, that the sequence that sort of ends the movie where he finally goes back to the warehouse is awesome. Mm-hmm. And tons of fun to watch, but like,
right,
everything before that, it really kind of drags.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, because it's the part where he's trying to deal with the man that you just mentioned.
Right.
The person who's chasing after him. And then, you know, it's always the exposition of the backstory of like, here's the, what is this group of, the fraternity, right? It's the group of assassins. Like, what, like, explaining the origin story of these people and what are they doing. And so, yeah. And no, I agree with you that it does sag in the middle. But it just gets too talky. It's too
right,
talky.
Right.
And then what I kind of don't like about it, and maybe it's sort of related to the talkiness of it, was you have Wesley, the main character, who's, we already talked about how whiny he is. And sort of, and I think in that middle part, he's, you know, trying to gain his confidence as he, like, gets better at, you know, becoming this assassin or whatever. And then, so he becomes liberated from, like, all the thing, like, all the loser trappings of his life. And then, like, I'm not really sure, like, how I'm supposed to feel about it. Like, as he sheds off all these things in his life and becomes, like, a super assassin who's motivated by revenge and his ability to shoot fly, like, the wings off a fly or whatever. Like, am I supposed to feel good about that? Because he just turns into, he's just an asshole now. Like, I don't know what I like better. Like, before, you were a loser. And it's like, well, you know, I'm sorry. Like, just, he's whiny and he's kind of pathetic and, okay. But now he's becoming just a total, he's just a douchebag.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, is this an improvement? Is this better? Like, I don't feel, maybe I'm not supposed to be, maybe I'm thinking too much about this.
Well, and again, I think that's sort of what I was responding to the first time I saw it, which was, right, that we take a guy who's, you know, basically a nice guy, a little weak and kind of a pussy, but like, okay, fine. And throughout the course of the movie, we see him turn into just a murderous, amoral douchebag. And we're supposed right, to be thrilled about that. And the first time I saw it, I'm like, I sort of reject that on principle. But yes, the more I see it, the more I understand, like, okay, you know, this movie is setting up a very specific morality and a very specific kind of universe. And I guess as long as we're willing to go along with that, it works. You know, I may not necessarily subscribe to it in my own life, but
I just felt like that was, and I totally agree with you, but I feel like it was so, I feel like there's like, you're supposed to feel good that he's not weak anymore.
Right.
And then there's the portion where, let's see, there's the portion of the movie where he's trying to figure out what to do with the man that, who was chasing him, was trying to kill him or is going after him. And like, that is supposed to be like some sort of emotional payoff. Like, the reason why he's becoming his this assassin is because of that relationship he has with the guy who's chasing after him. And like, that's a good thing. That's like a right, positive thing.
Right, right.
And then, but it's just like, the end result is that, again, he just becomes this asshole.
Right.
So it's like, it's so weird. It's like, didn't you, okay, I guess, all right, I guess those positive feelings were just, okay, whatever, it's fine.
That's right, well, I mean, stuff. Again, right, it ends on that shot of him basically with, like, a sniper rifle saying, what the fuck have you done today? And we're supposed to be like, yeah, right on, this guy's awesome, and I'm not. I'm a loser at a desk. But again, that's just part of this movie's sort of moral universe, and by moral, I mean totally amoral. It's rare that, like, for an action movie, you know, usually my complaint with a lot of action movies is like, well, there's no exposition, there's no story, it's just this hollow series of chases and shootouts. But I almost feel like with Wanted, I wish there was less exposition, because when they're not doing some of those things that you're talking about, trying to set up, like, this backstory and this character arc for Wesley, Yeah. I enjoy the movie a lot more. It's weird because I'm willing to go along with the most ridiculous of concepts in this movie. Like, oh, they're a fraternity of assassins, and they find out who they're supposed to kill because the name shows up on a magic loom. And, like, I am totally willing to go along with that. But then when the movie tries to introduce some more, like, realistic concepts about sort of manipulation or father-son relationships, I reject that. I'm like, no, you guys aren't pulling this off. Go back to the murder loom and all of the chasing and the jumping on the trains, and I'm fine with that.
Oh, that's so funny because I'm kind of the opposite. Because obviously I'm the guy that admitted right off that the guy jumping across buildings, like, that's cool. I'm okay with that. But then, like, when the murder loom thing, I was like, really? Really? Like, that's the thing?
Oh, it's,
like,
it's insane.
The threads or whatever.
It's from another planet. You think about, like, boy, they really could have come up with anything. I would have gone with, like, a lottery machine, whatever, like, ping pong balls. Right, whatever. Manatees with idea balls.
Did you take one of the balls out? No, the manatees will not work.
Stop. But whatever, so they went with a loom. Okay, great. But whatever, I'm with it, you know?
Did you ever feel like, there had to have been, right? Just Morgan Freeman, right? Like the voice of God for an entire generation of movie watchers.
Yeah.
And some of the lines that he had to say in this movie, or some of the things that he had to sell because he's Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, right.
Did you just think, like, in your mind, you're like, Morgan Freeman was thinking, really? Do you know who I am? I'm Morgan Freeman.
I get the impression that he sort of took it for that very reason, that, like, well, this is so far away from what I've usually done. And for as childish and stupid as it is, I do get something of a charge out of hearing him at the end, like, finally lose his shit when he's like, shoot this motherfucker over here. It's like, that's great because it's Morgan Freeman.
That was amazing, right? And coming out of it, I saw with one of my buddies, that was the first thing that we commented on as we left the movie. We're like, do you think that this entire movie was made just so Morgan Freeman could say that line? Because I think that maybe that would be worth it then.
Yeah, right. Like,
it's right up there. I agree with you.
It's, I like action movies a lot, but so many of them are so sort of rote and familiar, and even the mechanic, which I mentioned earlier, I liked, but, like, it didn't necessarily give me anything new. It just gave me familiar elements in a way that was, it's slick and it's polished and it's done well, but it's not necessarily anything new. So I do have to give Wanted credit. It's like, here's this action movie done through the prism of this crazy Russian guy, and he really seems to be going out of his way to show you things, not only things that you've never seen, like the guy jumping from building to building or the curving of the bullet, but even things that maybe you have seen before, he shows you in really new and sort of interesting ways.
Yes.
When I think about the way that whole first car chase is shot, and I just really love the moment where he's standing there about to get hit by the bus, and she swings by in the car and picks him up without stopping. And it's it's an obvious special effect, but, like, it's great. And I just think, hey, I've never seen that before. And the more movies you see, the rarer that becomes. And again, I think, I don't know if it's just, like, cynicism on my part or if I'm just, like, a spoiled douche. Because, again, when I saw the movie in 2008, that didn't really impress me. Like, I'm sure there were times where I'm like, oh, neat. Oh, cool. Oh, cool. But I still walked out of the movie with kind of a bad taste in my mouth, feeling like that movie's just the most socially irresponsible movie since Bad Boys 2. But, like, and again, now I move away from that and I'm more into, like, the dumb action stuff. So maybe I'm just lowering my standards or I don't know.
Well, I think maybe one thing that you're responding to, because I think I respond to it in the same way, is that, like what you were saying about the mechanic, that it was just sort of all the familiar, beats and all the sort of, like, same set pieces and the dynamic and the rhythm of different things. So it's sort of like most action movies are just like it's like Mad Libs.
Right.
You just fill out the page and, like, on this part you shall have whatever, tough guy repartee. On this part you will have car blow up. On this part you will have gun. On this part you will have pithy one-liner before shootings.
Keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times.
Exactly. I said pithy one-liner.
Don't forget to store your belongings in the overhead compartment. That doesn't even make sense. Why would he say that before he... The captain has turned on the no smoking sign.
Because it's a cliffhanger. Right, and you say have to say all those things before you put between 1 and 13 bullets in the bad guy's head. Whatever. But I think Wanted goes outside of the Mad Lib, like the typical arc and the typical kind of things that you see. And like the car thing was, and that's what I thought just coming out of it. Like the car chase, like when they, I don't want to give too many things away, but when there's like a series where they're, where Fox and Wesley are going out and they're, you know, they're killing all these people that they're supposed to, they're on assignment. And then the thing where they flip with the cars, where they hit the car and the car like flips over the other one and he takes the guy out that way through the limo.
Through the sunroof, right. I'm
like, yeah, that's awesome. I have not seen that before. That's kind of like problem solving a little bit. I'm like, that's cool. That's something I haven't seen. The thing with the rats, I was like, that's kind of inventive. I haven't seen that.
I could get behind the rats a little bit better if it wasn't such a terrible special effect. And I know that's just being spoiled, but like, they're cartoon rats.
Yes.
And unfortunately, he gets such close, long shots of them that, like, it's so obvious that they're cartoon rats. And I just feel like if you're going to go that route, do try a little harder to disguise that fact.
Yes.
But whatever. It's a lame criticism.
It's just, there's a lot of things about it that's just sort of different that you just don't see. And like, even if you don't, you know, want it, doesn't like, it doesn't have to be super on, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what the best, this is a hard question. What's the best action movie you've ever seen? Like, what's the, like, I think when we talk about action movies, like, you hold it up to a certain kind of gold standard.
Yeah.
But
I have the answer, by the way.
Oh, okay, good. Awesome. Because I don't know if I do. Like, what's the gold standard that we're holding it up to?
Die Hard.
I feel like we're like, yeah, that's true.
It's
that's
Die Hard. And this isn't Die Hard, you know, obviously.
What's the second most?
Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Oh, that's off.
I remember where I was when Rush Hour hit the water. I do love the first Speed, but not so much Speed 2 Cruise Control.
No, well, it's, yeah.
Point Break. I love Point Break.
I do love Point Break.
These are not the best action movies ever made, but they're high. But Die Hard is number one.
That's true.
No doubt. Yeah. So
when we're comparing this to the gold standard of Die Hard, now that I can complete that sentence, I was like, oh wait, I can complete that sentence. It's obviously gonna fall short. But I think there's enough things, and I think you were saying this too, there's enough things in Wanted that are different and sort of like, oh, which make it rewatchable, which make you stop when you see it on cable and you're like, all right, that's this part that, you know, it's still worth watching.
And it's interesting that it is the kind of movie, because again, rewatching those first 5 minutes today, I was like, boy, a lot of people I think would bail on the movie as soon as that dude jumps out the window. And I don't know if it's just we're more accepting of it because we read comic books, or just we're sort of action movie junkies or whatever, but like, okay, I'm willing to go with this crazy out there concept. Whereas I think a lot of people, it's too far from reality in a movie that doesn't necessarily tell you up front. It's not Avatar, where it's like you go into Avatar and you know that it's science fiction and there's crazy tall blue people, and so you don't need reality. But you go into Wanted and it's like, these are human beings with guns and cars, and so it should look like the world that I know. And as soon as that happens, it doesn't. And I think a lot of people bail on it at that point.
Aww. That's so sad. I think that moment that you're talking about, I think for me was, I think that's when it, again, maybe it's just because I am who I am and I like what I like and read comic books and love action movies and all that, and love like sort of magical reality that's presented in movies. And so when the guy like jumps out, when he like sort of rears back and he starts running, I'm like, no, he's not going to do that, is he? And he does. Yeah. And then I think, okay. This is like, my thought is immediately, this is not where I check out. This is where this is about to be awesome.
Yeah, right.
People can do this stuff.
Right.
Great. What's going to happen next? I'm in.
Wanted is like on this list of movies that I don't know what it is. If it's just the sort of the novelty of DVD and Blu-ray, or if it's just, again, the phenomenon of like being able to see a movie for what it is and not what you thought it was going to be. But like, there's this group of movies that I didn't like the first time around, and then I would see them a second or third time, and then I start to like them. And this is definitely one of those. I'm having a hard time coming up with more examples right now, which makes this point sucky. But
No, I know what you're talking about, though. Like, now, and of course, I'm having a hard time doing the same thing. No, because there's a certain amount of I think for the movies that are like that, that you don't like at first, but you end up sort of coming over to later.
Yeah.
There's usually, like for me, there's usually something unique about it. There's like a thing that you haven't seen in other movies that is only kind of here, and so you want to see it.
Yeah.
There's usually some kind of star power, right? There's like somebody famous kind of doing something cool. It's usually pretty like slick looking and polished. Like it looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
So you, like, even when you're just, you know, folding your laundry at home and then you just leave the TV on or you're vacuuming and you're kind of like, oh, right, this is this thing. The other thing is that you just don't expect like a ton out of it.
Right. And I think that's so much of what it is. It's like, okay, I saw this and I remember not liking it. And so now automatically your expectations are way lower. And then when suddenly you find yourself being entertained by it, you either think like, oh, this is better than I remember, or maybe I didn't give this a shot. The only other example I can come up with right now is Taken.
Oh, right.
Which I didn't like when I saw, because I just thought it was so... I always go back to that scene when they're sitting around, the four guys are sitting around reminiscing about their like mercenary days and talking in a way that no people talk. Remember this? Yes. And then they recount the entire story. Like, people don't say that. If I'm telling you, right. You know, it was just such a poorly written scene. Just sort of the one scene of exposition dump. That's the scene that always stuck out to me. Like, oh, that is terrible.
Like, it's super gruff. Like, they're really
right.
Like, it's like Liam Neeson was just barking out what he was saying. It's like, no one talks, dude.
So that was bad. But then, you know, the more I see it, the more I'm like, oh no, I dig Taken. You know, like, it is what it is, and it's not pretentious, and it does its job.
Yeah, it's fast, so it's over real soon. So
yeah, right.
Like, are suffering, you're like, well, it'll be over in like 90 minutes, so it's okay.
Right.
I feel like the Crank movies, right?
Yeah, I would put those on there, except I did dig Crank the first time I saw it for the same reasons that I like Wanted now, which is just like, this movie is ridiculous, but in all of the ways, like, it knows exactly what kind of movie it is, and it's embracing that. Yes. And so there's another word I would use to describe it, but I won't because it's offensive to people. But
it's okay. You can tell me later.
Yeah, sure. But it's like, that's the only word that you can use to describe the Crank movies. But yeah, I do like the Crank movies. Again, in a lot of ways that I now sort of enjoy Wanted, you know?
Oh, now, okay.
Now
I'm really... Yeah. No, go ahead, sorry.
Trying to come up with more examples of those movies? Is that what you're...
No, just of a movie that I didn't like at first,
yeah.
But after watching... I got one. It's... You're going to start laughing. It's Roadhouse. I love... The first time I watched Roadhouse,
yeah.
I was like, what? What is this? I had so many questions. And I didn't watch it like in the 80s when it sort of made sense to watch Roadhouse.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it's just on TV, like, whatever, something.
Always. It's always on TV.
It's always on TV. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And just, I was just whatever. It didn't have anything to do. But I, like, whatever. I loved it. This might have been the second time, maybe the third time that I was watching it just on TV. I loved it. Like, yeah. I loved it. And maybe it's just because I could look back as a child of the 80s. I could look back on the 80s, like, with some sort of sentimentality or whatever, but I love like the ridiculous Patrick Swayze's like ridiculous hair, you know, and I love like the whole idea of like he's gonna take over the town, and then the whole idea that there's just one guy, this one evil dude that is trying to take over this like total dump ass town. Like, who cares about that? Like, who, like, why would you want to take over that? Like, I don't even understand. It's like taking over like, I don't even know. Like, there's like all of three traffic signals in that town. Like, why is it so important that you have to crush everybody who lives there? I just love the thought that there was a movie made for like a zen, like trashy biker bar bouncer. that he was college educated and that he could have like civil intellectual conversations with the local nurses. So just, I was like, I love everything about this because it's so cheesy. It's so 80s.
It is. And it's totally watchable and totally entertaining, but I don't think I've reached the point of enlightenment yet where I can enjoy Roadhouse unironically. Like, I enjoy Roadhouse, but in a way that it's just like, I feel superior to this. And so I'm sort of laughing at it instead of sincerely loving Roadhouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, love, like, laughing with it.
Yeah. You know? Just like, I'm buying everything that this movie is selling me. Because I do enjoy Roadhouse, but I do think it's still through the veil of irony.
I don't know if I'm quite out of the irony yet either. Really,
I don't know if there's another way to watch Roadhouse, honestly. I don't. I mean, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there are people who just sincerely love it. And that's fine. That's great. I'm not there yet. I still am laughing at Roadhouse.
And Roadhouse 2.
Yeah, I didn't see Roadhouse 2.
No, I didn't either.
Straight to video starring Jonathan Scheck and Jake Busey.
I didn't make it.
No, I missed out on that.
It's a fascinating topic, though. Movies that you like, movies that you hated the first time but liked the second time.
The older I get, the more there are. And honestly, I think some of it, I have to attribute to, like, Blu-ray and, like, we have the, you know, we have a TV that's, like, a pretty good size, and it's, like, a lot of these movies look good at home, you know, like, they're dumb action movies or whatever. So they look good in high def and they look good on the big TV. And so I find myself, I'm enjoying myself more than I thought I would. And I'm almost compelled to put on these movies more than I am something that I might like better, but which requires a greater investment.
Yes.
I'm not going to put on something like Slow and Talky. I'm going to put on Wanted, you know, because like you said, I can fold laundry while I'm doing it and like do other stuff and look up every once in a while and see him running down the hallway and killing everybody and sticking a gun through a guy's eye and then using that almost like it's a silencer, like shooting people through a guy's head, which I've never seen before. And it's awesome, you know, like,
right. Right. That was a little bit of a shocker for me. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Right. But whatever, that dude had it coming.
No, I do the same thing too because of Netflix, because I don't go out as often as much to watch movies anymore.
Yeah.
I realize out of all the movie consumption that I have, a lot more of it is coming at home, just because it can and it's affordable and all that stuff. I realize that I'm looking for a certain kind of movie that, like, I'm, you know, I have like all the, you know, all the sort of like critically acclaimed, like all this really good stuff that I haven't seen yet that's mm-hmm. just like waiting in my Netflix queue. And I can watch that anytime I want to, but I don't. I skip over those because when I'm at home, I don't want to, I'm not always in the mood to sort of invest in, like you were saying, like the super amazing, awesome, like whatever. And like, not that they're always like that. Like, here's a prime example. Okay. In my Netflix queue at home, in the queue is The Thin Red Line, which, like, whatever, like, people hate it, people don't like it or whatever, but, you know, it's got sort of this critical acclaim, like, whatever, like, obviously it's something that I would find worth watching. I like war movies, like, whatever, all this stuff, like, it's good director, all these actors in it, but I just can't get into it. Like, there hasn't been a moment or an opportunity where I can just sit down during a weeknight and then, okay, I'm gonna pound out watching The Thin Red Line.
Yeah, right.
Because it's kind of heavy, it's sort of long, it's going to take a lot out of me. And I'm like, no, I don't really want to do that. I want something that I can do while I'm working on the computer.
Right.
While I'm doing, like, answering the cell, you know, answering my phone and picking up something. Like, what can I watch? Crank 2 is what I can watch.
Yeah, you can. High voltage, baby.
It is high voltage.
Well, yeah, like The Thin Red Line, you want to devote your attention to because you're like, if I'm going to see this movie, I want to give it a shot. It's supposed to be good, so I need to give it the attention that it deserves. Whereas Crank 2, it's like, I can probably not be looking at Crank 2 all the time and still catch all of the nuances.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's just going to make a loud noise, and that's when I'll turn
towards the screen. There's going to be a weird scene, a fight scene between two guys in suits that look like an old Godzilla movie. Do you know the scene I'm talking about where all of a sudden it turns into that?
Vaguely, yes.
Oh my gosh, that movie's out of its mind. I, by the way, I'm the exact same way. I have like 400 movies in the Netflix instant queue. I pass over great movies that I have never seen by Fellini and Kurosawa so that I can watch Action Jackson.
Right.
Which, have you seen Action Jackson?
No, I haven't. I remember the trailer.
You have to watch Action Jackson.
I'm going
to
do that tonight.
You have to watch it tonight. It is if aliens came down and said, show us the best example of like a terrible 80s action movie, I would show them I would show them Action Jackson. I swear to God, the last 15 minutes of that movie is spoken only in pithy one-liners where like there's just a fight and everyone speaks to each other only in one liner. So he's like, oh, I hear you wanted a paint job. And then he sprays paint in some guy's face. And the one I don't get is he has like a flamethrower and he says, chill out. And then he sprays a guy with a flamethrower. That doesn't even make sense. And this is like 1987. This is pre-irony. So I don't think he's being ironic when he says, chill out. I don't get it, but
he was dead serious.
That was like a pithy one. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. But Action Jackson is unbelievable, so you definitely have to watch it.
Who's in Action Jackson? I feel like the Black Predator.
Yeah, Carl Weathers plays Jericho Action Jackson. Vanity plays the drug addicted sort of love interest. Craig T. Nelson, coach himself, plays the villain, and Sharon Stone, his wife, and a lot of people you recognize. I feel like possibly whoever cast Action Jackson took the cast list from like Die Hard and Lethal Weapon, like all of the henchmen from those movies all show up in Action Jackson.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, he was probably like, well, this is how much money I can spend. Who is the best possible that we can get for this amount of money? Well,
they're all in it, man.
These guys.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm writing that down right now. I'm going to go watch Action Jackson as soon as I get off the Skype with you.
It is great.
I'm excited now. Now I know what to do.
So Wanted, is the movie we're actually talking about. Wanted.
Oh, my bad, yeah.
We tend to do this a lot. We start talking about a movie and then we get into some weird philosophical discussion on a sort of a general idea instead of actually talking about Wanted, which is what you all tuned in for.
Sorry. But they're all, unless it's our listeners who are in Hawaii or Puerto Rico, they're all probably, you know, buried under all the snow that we're buried under as well.
That is true. That is true.
It's okay.
I wouldn't like it if more action movies started to seem like Wanted. Like, I like that it's just sort of this one-off, this thing that I can put on when I'm in a specific kind of mood, because I don't want to see a lot of movies like that.
Right.
But I like that it exists. I don't know.
I agree. No, I agree with you.
That's a deep thought, right? I'm glad this movie exists.
Right. Well, you definitely would not like it as much if there was a bunch of other movies that were sort of the same as it. Is there a... I'm going to ask you, because I think you know these things. Is there supposed to be a sequel of some sort?
I haven't heard that. I don't know.
Okay.
I would see it if there was, which, again, if you had asked me in 2008, I would have said, no way am I going to go see a Wanted 2. But I would see it because, again, you know, theoretically, a lot of that lame backstory that I'm not crazy about is out of the way, and we could just see a movie about James McAvoy killing people.
Yeah, dude.
Hopefully bad guys. Yeah, right. Flipping over trains. And the movie was shot in Chicago, and you always have to like that.
I do like that. I do like that a lot. I like the scene with the L train.
Right.
Which I thought was kind of nice. I liked it. Enjoyed it.
Angelina Jolie, I will admit, does very little for me in the movie. She's weird and scrawny and tattooed and silent and doesn't really play a character. She does sell action effectively, you know? Like, I buy her doing the things that she does, but she doesn't necessarily bring a lot to the movie. I think she brought an audience to the movie. I don't think the movie is as successful as it was without her in it. And, you know, honestly, R-rated action movies are getting more and more rare, I think. Mm-hmm. Even you know, like regular action, you know, the Transporter movies are all PG-13. Like, well, why? Just So that was something else I liked about the mechanic, too, was that it was R, and Wanted is definitely a very, very R-rated action movie, and that's kind of a nice throwback.
Oh, the Transporter movies are PG-13?
Yeah.
I never would have guessed that.
Which, by the way, I really like the first Transporter. I even like the second one, even though I know it's terrible. The third one doesn't do much for me, but I actually really like...
Yeah.
But I actually really like the first two. But again, this goes back to my affection for Jason Statham, who I'm now realizing like is a movie star in the sense that like I will go see a movie just because he's in it. And there's not that many people that I would go see, you know, a movie just because they're in it. I would need some. I would have to look interesting or have some other actors that I like or be from a director that I like. But like, if a movie comes out that Jason Statham is in, for the most part. Now, I did not see In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege tale.
Oh, I heard maybe one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah, right. And I missed War. But otherwise, I do go see the Jason Statham movies.
Yeah, because I think with Jason Statham, you know it's a stable commodity. You know exactly what
right.
you're getting.
He's Schwarzenegger in the 80s and early 90s, you know? It's like... That's enough for me, and I know exactly what to expect.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of baldness. There's going to be a lot of like martial arts. There's going to be a lot of like British, like clenched jaw, kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm down.
And some ass kicking.
Pretty much. When I'm on Netflix, I look up Jason Statham. I'm like, what Jason Statham movie have I not seen yet?
Yeah.
Because I like what that guy's into.
Now you've seen Crank 2, so the list has gotten shorter.
I have, yes. You were the one that suggested Crank 2 to me. Like, and then I went home that night, and then I couldn't go to bed for a good 3 or 4 hours.
Because you were all cranked up. See what I did?
I like what you did.
Yeah.
I like what you did.
It's how I do. So if you haven't seen Wanted, I guess what we're saying is, if you're somebody who likes action movies... give Wanted a chance. And you may hate it, because I could definitely see this as a movie that sort of splits people down the middle. But it's something slightly different, and it has some interesting things to offer. I don't think it's a great movie by any means, but I think it knows what it is, and I think it's pretty good at being what it is.
I think for action fans, I think there's going to be at least like two moments that you're going to watch this and say, all right, I hate the rest. Even if you say I hate the rest of this,
right.
I like that part. That
right.
was cool.
And honestly, in action movies nowadays, like two moments is more than you'll get a lot of times. So let's enjoy those two moments.
Yes, especially two moments beyond the trailer that you already saw.
Right. Yeah. Really. All right. So I guess that's it. Remember, if you want to email us and suggest a movie you want to hear, fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/fthismovie. You can find us in the iTunes store. If you want to hear all of our shows going all the way back to Avatar about 30 or 40 shows ago, it's fthismovie.blogspot.com. And thank
That's
you very
much. A lot of shows.
Yeah.
A lot of shows.
Yeah, we've been doing this a while.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mark. And
and we're on Twitter. We're on Twitter as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, twitter.com/fthismovie. Twitter be blowing up. I'm glad this worked out. Take care of yourself in the snow.
Yes, you too. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, if it gets to be unbearable, you know, just cut open a Tauntaun and climb inside.
Oh, but the smell.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We're nerds, everyone. Bye.
Bye.